Good Work Show people. How are you doing today? Well, are they people?
Hey, people.
Are people. Or maybe our person, depending on how many people we got.
Could be. You could probably call them out by their name at this point.
But... Oh, yeah. We need a mirror like the rumper room. Hey, I always wanted that lady to call my name.
I never watched Romper Room.
You didn't? I used to watch it, and I remember watching it in preschool. Because I was in a 6-to-6 program or something. It had to be one of those. So I got dropped off at like my preschool, and then they bussed me over to my kindergarten, and then brought me back.
Yeah.
So we used to watch it while we were waiting on the bus to take us to kindergarten, and I just remember I always wondered to call my name.
I did accidentally realize I was watching Sesame Street the other day.
Wait a minute. How did you accidentally watch Sesame Street?
Because at 12 o'clock, as you know, at 12 o'clock, as you know, on PBS, the British Bake Off show comes on.
Yeah.
So around 12 o'clock, I usually like, okay, let me stop and take, eat lunch, and I'll watch that, and it stays on for an hour. But that's like the only... I didn't realize it until they actually said it on PBS. It's like the only hour of like non-kids programming during the day on PBS. Okay. Yeah, because I guess I left it on that channel. So when I turned the TV back on, like Arthur or something was on. When it went to British Bake Off, it said, don't worry, kids, we'll be back in an hour with, whatever. Yeah, so after the British Bake Off goes off, Sesame Street comes on, and I was like sitting there, and I'm like, "Oh, I'm just watching Sesame Street. I should."
Well, that's okay. That's okay. I mean,
I probably learned something.
You probably did. The thing that got me about Sesame Street, which I did not know, was when now for those of you who are on here and you watch your aunties battle it out on Instagram, where you have Patti LaBelle and Gladys Knight, and Patti LaBelle started singing the alphabet. I did not know that that was from Sesame Street, because my daughter was like, why is she singing Sesame Street? And that was pretty much the only Patti LaBelle song she knew was when she was singing the ABC
alphabet song
from Sesame Street. And I'm like, I did not know, but that was my Sesame Street run-in recently.
Well, it stuck. It worked.
I know.
That was good.
That was good.
No, but Sesame, I don't know. I know I did because I loved Mr. I never realized, and maybe I am, I don't know when it happened that Mr. Snuffleupagus, I didn't know that he was imaginary.
I didn't know
that. So Snuffleupagus was Big Bird's imaginary friend. So he was the only person theoretically.
Are you sure?
Yes. Who could see Mr. Snuffleupagus, and then apparently
he was the only one who could see him?
Yes, and then, the one.
but I thought
But apparently at some point they changed it, and they made it so that everybody could see Snuffleupagus, but I don't ever remember Mr. Snuffleupagus only being an imaginary friend.
I don't know
if that happened before.
I think that's the new school Sesame Street. They got the new school.
It was years and years ago.
Our era of Sesame Street?
What I'm trying to figure out. I don't know when the change was made, because that was like supposedly a big deal that he went from being like just Big Bird's imaginary friend to where everybody could see him. But I don't remember him being imaginary. So maybe it happened before we started watching, but
I don't know.
He was my favorite. Snuffleupagus was my favorite.
Really? I think I liked Oscar the Grouch.
Of course you did.
I don't know what that says about me, but I like, Sesame Street wasn't like, I like the actual people.
Yeah, I like the people. Snuffleupagus just looked like, if he was your pet, like you could like snuggle up with him. Like,
he was kind of scary. He was kind of like the Chuck E. Cheese characters to me, where
he's
a little creepy.
I don't like those things.
But anyway, speaking of imaginary friends
and
coping mechanisms, because I think that's probably a coping mechanism, because we are going to be talking to Brandy Bishop, who is the utilization director for the Progress Place. It's an organization that is supporting young people who may not be able to afford mental health services, and their families, by the way, with services, especially now their services are even more sought after. So we're glad that she's going to be on. She's going to be talking about the services they offer at the Progress Place and how you can get connected. So important right now too, because there's so many people dealing with issues on top of issues. And particularly if you were in an underserved community or you were struggling before, adding a pandemic on top of that, I can just only imagine how it's going to exacerbate the issues for a lot of families. So we're glad that she's going to join us in just a few minutes.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that and, of course, ways that you can connect and support their work. As usual, if you know of any nonprofits or if you work for a nonprofit or want to learn more about a nonprofit, shoot us an email, goodworks@ging.org, and let us know. We are happy to do the legwork for you to continue to bring you nonprofits and organizations and people who are here in our community doing really great work and serving communities, all of us, and giving support that we need in this crazy time and all the other times too. Like their work, a lot of these organizations, they're not new, but they are meeting the needs of the time. And that's what nonprofits do all the time. You know, we're here and we serve the needs of the time, whatever they are, and adjust accordingly. So always excited to learn about new ones. So let us know, shoot us an email, tag us on social media. We're happy to reach out and bring some more content to you every week. So for now though.
Yeah, let's hear from Brandy. Show friends, we are back and we are excited because we are talking to Brandy Bishop, who is the utilization director for the Progress Place. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And if you forgot where she was working from, she's got the shirt, she's got all the branding on today. Yes. I love the lime green. I love it. Yes, it's super bright. So tell us about the Progress Place. What's your mission and what do you do?
Yeah, so the Progress Place has been here in the state of Georgia for about 6 years now. Our owner, Mrs. Tonica Logan, she came from North Carolina. And after working for many years just in the social service industry, she wanted to open up a organization that was able to service low-income families when it comes to mental health. And so I think that a lot of us, especially given, you know, the current state that we're in, it's just so important that we focus on our mental health, our physical health as well, but mental health is so important. And so it was kind of, you know, her baby. She wanted to make sure that, especially our youth. And so we service families, but we began first just servicing children, because I do think that a lot of times we forget so often that kids go through things too. And, you know, and they have their own mental health that we need to be concerned about. And so overall, we service children and adults, and we really, really love working with families. We found that, you know, if you get in and you're able to help the whole family, you're really able to see some change.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Let's dig in a little bit on these times that we're in. I saw something the other day, and I'm not going to say the number because I'm not really sure if I remember it correctly, so I'm not going to put out fake information. But talking about one of the undercounted statistics from these COVID times are the people who have lost their lives due to mental health issues.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, the isolation and the stress and the anxiety and folks who are going through mental health crises on top of the, you know, everything else that's going on, that's one of those things that, you know, historians and researchers will be able to tell us when we look at the full scope of what's going on right now. And then also, I don't have kids myself, but I was talking to people who have them and, you know, just talking about the stress and, you know, the missed opportunities and what does that mean and adjusting to differences and adjusting your expectations. So talk to us a little bit about what, you know, young people might be facing right now when it comes to their mental health as we all kind of go through this weirdness of COVID.
Definite weirdness. And so it's so interesting that you mentioned that, because we are, in preparing for our newsletter, we have just a mental health newsletter that I send out to our partners on Mondays, and just to give them some facts and some figures about what's going on in mental health so they can stay current. And so a couple of the articles that I've been reading and just, you know, looking at some of the work that's been put out by some psychiatrists, it speaks exactly to what you brought up, and that is that many of the people who one have been who faced COVID-19 themselves, like actually, you know, had the infection, they are coming, like, more and more cases of PTSD, of major depressive disorder and anxiety, that those are on the rise for people who actually can contracted the infection. But then people who even have not, just the fear of possibly getting it has made anxiety, and then also the isolation, people being at home by their themselves more, and so things that we might not have had issue with before. Mental health in general without a pandemic is a huge thing, but with the pandemic, it has been one of the in my 5 years of being at the Progress Place, this time has showed me the impact that just environment and other people have on our mental health. And so, it's so true. Those numbers are on the rise, and I definitely believe that historians will be able to look back and see how much mental health played a factor in COVID in and of itself, but also our experiences as people who live through this time, you know? And so that's why it's really important that we invest in our mental health and that we seek help when we need it. And our youth are probably some of the, you know, forgotten people during this time. We talk about our frontline people who are actually the doctors and the nurses and the delivery people. And then oftentimes I find myself thinking about, like, parents who are doing all the work of trying to work from home and also help kids now that they're being schooled from home. But I think that we forget about our little ones who are used to being at school with friends and playing outside and going to fairs. This was their summertime, you know? And so all summer, when they're used to having fun, going places, doing things, they've been at home. And that can be a lot for even someone that as young as five, their mental health. They have not been able to do some of the things that kids get to do. And so, it's really important that we see that and we try to help our kids with that. We don't just say, oh, well, kids get over it. Like, yeah, you know, kids are very resilient, and that is an amazing thing. Kids do get through things. But mental health is important, and this time is definitely taking a toll on their mental health.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we talk about when historians will look back, they're going to be looking at a lot of things. What I hope people don't miss out on is the opportunity to try to normalize getting help when you have a mental health issue. Like, there's been so much stigma around it for years and years and years. And this pandemic, because there's so many people who are affected, that we can at least normalize the fact that you can say that you have an issue and that you can get the help. And there's folks like the Progress Place to help you. So along those lines, I'd love for you to share with us some of the services that you offer, so we can kind of really give our listeners and our viewers a sense of, when they come to you, what is it that they can expect to receive?
Definitely. And so we are a behavioral healthcare, mental health care agency. And so that means that we provide therapists. And so, typically when we think of therapy, we think of somebody telling you to come on and lay on my couch. And so we do it a little bit different. We're a community-based agency. And so while we do have a brick and mortar, an office space where if you would like to, you could come in and have your therapy sessions there. Most of our sessions are done out in the community. We are able to get into schools. We're able to see you in your home. And then, of course, right now, with just the state of the world, we are doing a lot of telemed as well. And so, you know, it breaks down some of those barriers to, hey, I might can't make it to this appointment, or, you know, the stigma of, oh, I have to go somewhere and see somebody. You know, if we come to your home and we're actually there doing life with you to some extent, it allows us as as clinicians when you go out to see, okay, what are they really up against? And then also it takes that barrier down of you feeling like you're going somewhere and somebody's maybe judging your situation, or, you know, they're just listening, they don't actually understand. We're mainly Medicaid funded, so we do have a sliding scale fee. And so that speaks directly to the heart of our organization, just wanting to make sure that we are there for sometimes those that are most vulnerable and also forgotten about, and that being our low income families. And, you know, with COVID, we found so many people fit in this category now. You know, if you're, you know, people are losing jobs, they're losing housing and, you know, things like that. And so even families who did not necessarily find themselves here before, maybe you were living check to check, now you find yourself in a place where you might need help but can't afford some of the, you know, services that cost hundreds of dollars. And so being Medicaid based means that Medicaid pays for the service, and none of our families have co-pays or anything like that as far as out of pocket costs. And we're able to do really great things for the community in the meantime. And so, like I said, we go out, we do therapy. We also have peer professionals on staff. And so those are individuals who have worked in this field for several years. They're not necessarily clinicians, but what they focus on is linking families to services. So say we get a family who they're living at a motel, maybe they don't have enough food or income coming in. What we want to do, my grandfather taught me this growing up, he ran a homeless shelter in the inner city of Detroit, is that you have to feed somebody before you can oftentimes help them with their situation. And so we're not about you tell us you're hungry and we're like, well, let's talk about your mental health. Like, your mental health is important, but if you're hungry, we need to feed you first. Mm-hmm. You know, and so we have our peer professionals that are there to link you directly to any kind of resource that's possibly out there that you can access. And that's one thing that we pride ourselves on as agency, just going out trying to find what resources are out there for the community. And then we ourselves each year we do things for our youth. We always, this year it looked a lot different, but we do a back to school jamboree, and we adopt a community each year. Last year we were off in a park off of Martin Luther King, and we did 200 book bags, and we have, you know, the bounce houses, and we grilled out. And so we try to do that each year, just so we can show the community that we're there for them. We do Christmas gifts each year for all of our kids that are in our program, and then just, you know, small other tokens along the year. But really we want to make sure we're supporting the community, and also making sure we are normalizing mental health by bringing it to the community and not necessarily making you come to us.
That's incredible, Brandy. And can't believe we're out of time, but one thing I do want to make sure, there are opportunities for people to volunteer with you, correct?
Yes. And so, okay. Yeah, if you're interested in either helping a youth or, you know, donating or being of some kind of support to our organization, definitely reach out to us. I'm not sure if we'll be able to put my email address or something somewhere, but the phone number for the office is 678-894-0288, and you can just ask for me, and I'll definitely connect you to our donations and volunteer person.
And what's your website if people are interested in learning more or want to connect with services or anything like that?
Definitely. So our website is really simple, progressplace.net. And you can find more information about our services. If you know somebody who's in need of services, definitely reach out. You can go straight to the website, and the referral form is right there.
Awesome. Brandy, thank you so much for your time and for everyone at the Progress Place. I know that this is probably the time where you think, wow, I'm so glad that I work for an organization that's here like this, and we're glad to have you in the community. So audience, if you know someone who could use these services, please by all means go to theprogressplace.net and research the services. Please utilize them. We want everyone to make it out of this thing safe and healthy, physically and mentally. So thank you so much, Brandy. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much.